about to drop the top five things podcast like Galileo dropped five oranges.
Five oranges?
I don't know.
I thought it was a bag of oranges.
And now I have this bag of oranges I'm going to prove to you.
It's a relatively nice bag of oranges.
I paid good money for these oranges.
I wouldn't say it was a small bag or a large bag.
Dropping from the Tower of Pisa to teach you dummies about gravity. Welcome everybody to the
Top 5
Things.
How do you think this works?
I'm Dave, he's Darren, and what you're about to hopefully enjoy is a review of what we got done on our morning show, which you can hear on Planet 93.9.
Yeah, close enough.
We'll get started with...
Number one.
Number one.
Number one.
Got a couple of Florida stories to... The regular state of Florida.
Florida.
I think it's highly unlikely that any of my stories will ever be about the mom on Good Times.
Don't say never.
Well, I was careful not to say never. Highly unlikely. To a Florida men's story, and there's a string that ties both of these together. We'll begin with a 64-year-old retiree arrested on Tuesday for allegedly exposing himself to a female beachgoer. Charles Hickson busted Tuesday afternoon for indecent exposure following an incident at Sunset Beach in Tarpon Springs. Tarpon Springs is a Tampa suburb. Hickson was in the water about knee-deep wearing a Speedo when he pulled down the front of his swimsuit and exposed his penis. He was allegedly holding it in his hand while staring and grinning at the 28-year-old victim who was on the beach. The woman and Hickson had both made eye contact, and the victim described his penis as being 7 to 8 inches long, and it was similar in color to his body, which was tanned.
I would say it's got a similar skin tone.
Is that... I'm going to ask a really practical question at this point. Is it usually not the same color as the rest of your body?
Well, if you kept your pants on, it wouldn't be.
Oh, I see. Well, I'm always pale, so I have a consistency.
Yeah, no.
But if you're someone who tans...
Yeah, some people are going to be consistent.
And if you're going to be somebody who has it out a lot, I guess that's a way to get it tan, right?
Right.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
It almost proves our point.
I don't think you'd want it to be tan, though, would you?
Not too tan.
No. What am I?
Not too much.
What am I, George Hamilton down there?
Got a little touchy too much.
Witness told the police that they saw Hickson with his hands at his crotch, but they did not see him expose himself. That's a different witness, I guess. When questioned by the Tarpon Springs cops, Hickson denied anything happened and stated he did not intentionally expose himself to anyone.
I was just trying to get the sand out of my shorts.
I was trying to scare the jellyfish away or lure them to me. Which story gets me home today?
Right, you tell me.
Charged with exposure of sexual organs, it's a misdemeanor. Hickson was released from the county jail after he posted a $150 bond.
Well, I've got that on me. I'd like to rule your land.
People, just remember this event, as it were, is about three basic things. Music, good weed, and some heavy-duty balling.
How's the crowd out there, Don?
It's those darn Shriners.
Then there's this story. This happened in St. Petersburg. Make your own jokes with that one. A trespassing suspect with his pants opened and his genitals exposed explained to the cops there in Florida that he was, quote, doing a chant and cleansing himself spiritually. This is when he was discovered at 2:15 in the morning on the premises of a closed Mexican restaurant. I forgot my mantra. Cops say that Kenneth Gray, 29 years old, tripped a silent alarm after jumping a fence at the Red Mesa Cantina there in St. Petersburg. When officers arrived at the restaurant, Gray was seated inside a fenced area near the outdoor bar with his pants opened and his genitals exposed. He was detained and subsequently charged with loitering and prowling, a misdemeanor. After being read his rights, Gray acknowledged that he was in fact trespassing, but he told the police he was, quote, doing a chant and was cleansing himself spiritually. Gray locked up in lieu of $250 bond.
I've got that on me.
He was ordered to stay away from the restaurant.
Okay, and stay away from the restaurant.
Rap sheet includes prior convictions for trespassing, obstructing police, and possession of an open container of alcohol. So yeah, it's a lot. There's a lot going on.
I got a lot of irons in the fire.
You can tell I'm...
You know this is my busy season.
Two. Scientific analysis commissioned by the FBI shortly before agents went digging for buried treasure suggested that a huge quantity of gold could be just below the surface. That's according to newly released government documents and photos that deepen the mystery of the 2018 excavation in a remote part of western Pennsylvania. There was a geophysicist who performed microgravity testing at this site out there in Pennsylvania and hinted that an underground object with a mass of up to 9 tons and a density consistent with gold.
Uh-huh.
The FBI used this consultant's work to obtain a warrant so they could seize the gold if there was any gold to be found.
Now, you're not quite to retirement age yet.
No.
But if you had this sort of information...
Oh, boy.
Would you have your metal detector out there?
You're damn right. This has been a story, I guess, that's been going on for years. That it's a giant, massive haul of Civil War-era gold that was buried, for some reason, in this part of Pennsylvania. The fear was, there was this legend tells of a shipment in 1863 of Union gold that was either lost or stolen on its way to the U.S. Mint in Philadelphia. So these treasure hunters have been looking all over this part of Pennsylvania for this gold. And then at some point, the FBI...
Now have
got
they,
involved.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Have they looked into whether or not if they found it, they get to keep it?
The FBI?
No, the people.
The treasure hunters?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's why they want to get it.
No, well, that's what they think.
Yeah.
I mean, you could put all your resources into this and all your time and effort, and it's like, that's not yours.
They tried to get this guy who did the scan.
Yeah.
And he's saying, I don't think I'm allowed to talk about it.
Uh-huh.
The FBI has not given me
permission
to talk.
That would lead me to believe that maybe you don't get to keep it if you find it.
And then the FBI put out a report a year after they started digging. And the FBI says, we didn't find anything. No medals, no items, no other relevant items were found.
Move on.
Mm-hmm. And now it's a closed case. But now a lawyer for these father and son treasure hunters is saying, well, we don't know that we believe the FBI. It was only after the father and son treasure hunters who call themselves...
Yes. Oh, I can't wait for this.
They call themselves...
Yeah.
Finders keepers.
I don't know if that's necessarily... The law everywhere.
Finders keepers began pressing the government for records. And that's when this really brief report came out.
Mm-hmm.
Ann Weissman is a former Justice Department lawyer, and she is now a lawyer for Finders Keepers.
Yeah.
And she says of this FBI report that they don't quite believe, quote, it does not read like one would expect. If this is the official record in the file of what they did and why they did it, it says almost nothing, and it's crazy. She says if the government does not produce a fuller, more contemporaneous accounting of its search for the gold, it will, quote, heighten my view that this is not an accurate record.
Now,
and this was created as a cover-up, and I don't say that lightly.
Has any branch of any authority reached out to the finders keepers to let them know that just because that's your name doesn't really carry any weight or water?
People around that part of Pennsylvania say that they heard a backhoe and a jackhammer going all night long for the first and second day of the dig. And then the work was paused, and then they saw a convoy of FBI vehicles, including large armored trucks. Uh-huh. The FBI denying any work took place at the site after hours.
And I'm guessing that the father and son team were up on top of the hill with their binoculars.
They're getting our gold, Dad.
Hang on, son.
Here, put this t-shirt on. It's a new one. Finders keepers.
The FBI is saying only nighttime activity was ATV patrols by FBI police personnel who secured the site around the clock for the duration of the excavation.
Here, put this on. It's the polos I ordered.
They're saying that they think what happened...
It says right there, finders keepers.
Finders keepers, son.
They Does think, it get more official than that?
They think the FBI got the gold in the middle of the night and then brought the treasure hunters to the dig site to show them an empty hole.
I got something pretty exciting to show you, son. What's that? New magnets for the car. It says finders keepers on it.
Wow, Dad.
Wow, that does make it official.
Wow, I'd say this is the real treasure, Dad. All these tchotchkes you're getting from imprint.com. One man who has worked closely with the treasure hunter says it's very curious why the FBI is going to such an extent to misdirect and be so obstructionist on this. They worked that night under the cover of darkness to evade, escape our knowledge of something we're supposed to be partners in.
Here's something.
What? Wait, you're partners with the FBI? I don't know that that's how they felt it. Many of the FBI photos that they've handed out have hundreds of images of random trees.
Hey, son, pass out those pens to all those FBI agents.
Sure thing, Pop. You're the best. Treasure keepers forever.
Right there on the pen.
FBI agents are shown in one picture standing around the hole in photos that appear earlier in the series, but then they are absent from all the other images of the dig site. The FBI agent told them that the hole was filled with water in the morning of the second day.
And there's a blurry figure that looks something like Geraldo Rivera. It's a cross between the Loch Ness Monster and Geraldo. Oh, I suppose it could have been photoshopped.
Is that Sasquatch? What is he doing
what
there?
What is that? Kind of.
Well, the treasure hunters, or finders keepers, I should say, do not trust the FBI on this.
Here, have one of these flashlights.
Well, this is great. I can use this on as like a key fob. Oh, yeah, it's very, very useful.
Yeah, it doubles as a keychain.
And here, this is made out of neoprene. You put this around a can of Coke or a beer, and it'll keep it. I think you'll find demonstrably cooler than just leaving it out on the
side. Snaps stone. Right on.
Look at that. Look at that snug fit there on that can of Coca-Cola Classic. Look at how that fits on there, like a glove. And that you see this here? Finders keepers? That's me and my boy. That's what we call ourselves. We're finders keepers, and we're working in concert with the FBI
on this.
That
means it's ours.
So we get that gold, because, you know, if you can read the koozie, I think it tells tells the story. If this thing does go to court, it's just going to be, Your Honor, I'd like to add into evidence this. It's a headband.
What is this supposed to prove?
Finders keepers, Your Honor. Says it right there on the headband.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. These guys informed the FBI of the location because they're saying the gold was federal gold. So we called the FBI hoping to get a finder's fee. And the FBI said, we found nothing. Which is weird because, again, the scientists said, no, there's a lot of gold.
We're willing to give you 50% of nothing.
And you know, we'll take it. Federal officials excavated the area, but keeping these finders keepers at arm's length. They were barred from the site.
Banned.
Kept in their cars and shown an empty hole afterwards. No gold was found, says the FBI. And they're saying, well, no, we think you found gold. Give us the gold. Or at least, you know, a percentage of the gold. We're finders keepers. And that lost Civil War gold, at least a part of it. Listen, we called you because it was federal money. And we thought you should know about it. But we didn't think you were going to take all of it. Why wouldn't you just dig it up yourself? Why wouldn't you have the gold? If you wanted to inform the FBI, find the gold and then say, this is what we found. But we'd like to keep a little taste of it for ourselves. It seems like you got the FBI involved way too early in this.
You guys are going to get a real kick out of this. Look at these stickers. You can stick them on anything. We've got them stuck on this bag of rolled gold pretzels.
You're going to get a real kick out of this.
It makes it look like it's our pretzels.
See this? This is what we call a... See how it says finders keepers there? It's what we call in the trade a Chinese finger trap. It's got our name on it and everything.
And everything, Your Honor.
The secret is, Your Honor, stop trying to pull it apart. Move closer and you'll see.
If I can approach the bench, I've brought you a little something.
Your Honor, I'd like you to wear this lanyard. It says finders keepers on it. And if it pleases the court, I got a box of coffee cups in the trunk of my car. It'd be no big deal for me to go and get those, Your Honor.
As many as you want.
Well, I mean, within reason. I got tumblers. I got lip balm. I got mouse pads. I got flash drives. Your Honor, I'm up to my eyeballs in debt. With the tchotchkes.
We have to find gold.
I'll be honest, Your Honor.
Just to break even.
If we were to even get the gold that we believe the FBI stole from us, it would just go to pay for these truckers' hats, stadium cups, and tote bags that all have our Finders Keepers logo emblazoned on them. Not asking for much, Your Honor. Just what's right.
We got a guy working on a website, although it's been a couple of years.
Number three.
An Elvis impersonator got married to a Priscilla Presley impersonator. I guess I didn't realize that was a thing.
And what does she do?
She impersonates Priscilla Presley.
As part of his act?
Well, I don't think they were.
Or were they separate acts?
Steve Halliday has made a living from being a Elvis impersonator for 30 years now. He is 51 years old, and Cassandra, who's 33, works part-time as Priscilla Presley. They met at a show back in 2018.
Oh, sure, I'd love this to be a full-time gig. It just never works out that way.
They met at a show in 2018, and Steve proposed on the stage a year later. They dressed...
I bet there were a few people there that just lost their minds.
Okay. Can't believe this is happening.
I can't believe this is happening to me.
I was a little creeped out by the age difference. He's 51 and she's 33, but there was quite an age difference between actual Elvis and Priscilla Presley, wasn't there?
All right, let's see. 51. Let's see. The 51, so that's 20... 25 and a half.
Darren's
plus,
doing the hang on.
Plus seven.
Explain your math here.
Well, this is not any sort of formula I've ever put together.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, it's a sort of formula that the older you get, the creepier it gets, quite frankly. But the idea is half your age plus seven, right?
Is what
you're allowed.
It's what is acceptable.
Is what is acceptable.
Right.
But having said that, I don't know. So
he's 51, she's 33.
So 25 and a half mm-hmm. plus 7, so it's 32 and a half. So, yeah, they can do it.
Ugh.
It makes it happen.
He's living as an Elvis impersonator since she was 3 years old. Like, how does that not creep you out if you're Elvis or Priscilla?
Well, I had to do something.
They dressed as themselves for their wedding. Or they will be dressed as themselves for their wedding, I guess. This thing has been COVID delayed until July 29th. So they'll get married, and then they'll head to Vegas, where the real Elvis and Priscilla got married in 67, and then they'll get their union blessed in full costume. Steve says, we really want to do something that's very Elvis and Priscilla.
Yeah, we get that.
Because they're absolutely a part of us, but also be ourselves. Elvis drew us together, but I would have been attracted to Cassandra even if she wasn't Priscilla. It's just a lucky win-win situation. Can I tell you something, baby? Even if you didn't look like Priscilla, I'd think you were cute.
Gee, thanks, fake Elvis.
I don't know. Is that what Priscilla sounds like? Priscilla says there was a connection right away between them. Quote,
I don't know what it was. I can't put my finger on it.
I feel lucky that Cassandra has found her Steve, and as a happy consequence, Priscilla has found her Elvis. Steve has worked for decades as an Elvis impersonator. Said he took his dad's old guitar along to clubs
to perform. Make it believable.
It was then he realized that he had both the looks and talent to perform as Elvis. Quote,
well, that's what they told me.
Did Elvis play guitar? Yeah, I mean, I know he would like pluck on it during the movies.
Yeah.
He was a guitar player?
Yeah, he strum a chord or two, sure.
He says, I taught myself to play guitar and I was so shy about singing, my parents didn't even know if I could do it. The first single I ever bought was Elvis, and you never forget your first love. Yeah, if you're old enough to have purchased an Elvis single. Cassandra has been doing her Priscilla Presley tribute for 10 years.
And where do you do that?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, you show up for like Naked Gun conventions?
I must kill the Queen. I must kill Frank Drebin. Gosh, that's all I want now for my next birthday party is I want you to hire a Priscilla Presley impersonator.
You got it.
Just this to is see the, what
you,
she
you
does.
You've got the big birthday coming. You get what you want.
Not really a fan of Elvis so much as Priscilla. Her love for all things Elvis began when she started watching his movies with her mom when she was 6 years old. Cassandra's day job is that she's a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
But she says, I was just mesmerized when I watched the film in Hawaii. It also felt like a connection with my grandmother who watched Elvis films with my mom as they would come out.
I'm a bigger fan of Priscilla after all the drastic plastic surgery.
Highlights for Cassandra include meeting Priscilla twice and encountering Elvis's grandson on a visit to Memphis. She has at least 30 replica outfits that she's made from photographs of her idol, Priscilla Presley.
They're actually made out of just photographs.
You know what I bet? I bet the real Priscilla met this woman and had no idea that's what she does. Probably just thinks she's another weirdo who dresses like that.
Probably had more surgery to make herself unrecognizable to her fans. I'm tired of being recognized. How about I have some more drastic plastic surgery?
We can do that. A year after they first met.
I don't want just plastic surgery. Mm-hmm. I don't know that you're hearing me, doctor. It needs to be drastic plastic.
I don't want to look younger. I want to look more plastic. Do you understand me?
Stranger is what I want.
Yeah.
I'm not looking to... I'm not talking about, turning the hands of time backwards.
No.
Just make it as strange as possible. We could do that.
That's what I want.
We can absolutely do that. As a matter of fact, that's easier.
I want to look like a Margaret Keane painting. Can you do that? I want to be just barely recognizable as a human being.
Yes, we can do it.
We can do that.
Don't even need a reason.
A year after they first met, Steve got down on one knee just before his last Never song got back on stage. Up. He was reaching around his guitar amp where the diamond ring had fallen. And the wedding was originally planned for last year but got delayed because of the pandemic. And their guided tour of Vegas, they will honeymoon in Beverly Hills and San Francisco and then finish their honeymoon in Elvis's beloved Hawaii. Because that's what the king would have wanted them to do.
Who goes on a guided tour of Las Vegas?
And the honeymoon seems like a lot, too. First Vegas, then Beverly Hills, then San Francisco, and then Hawaii?
Doesn't she have to get back to school?
Well, no. It's that time of year. She gets summers off. And, you know, any money she needs for the summer, for incidentals, she can make just impersonating Priscilla Presley. Is it like, I'll do the Elvis gig, and for a couple hundred more bucks, I can throw in a Priscilla? Is that what the angle is here?
It didn't sound to me like they worked together at first.
Not at first, no. So, it's so bizarre.
Do they need a Colonel Parker?
Would you be willing to travel to four different destinations with them?
I could be like one of those taking care of business guys.
Part of the Memphis Mafia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All you have to do is just give me a jacket.
Look, man, I'll be happy to get you pills. But, you know, fake pills.
Yeah.
These
Tic Tacs.
I'll just get you some Tic Tacs.
And we'll pretend I'm supplying you with pills.
Right. Right. These are impersonating Percocets.
Do you need someone to play the role of Dr. Nick?
I could be a... Oh, my God. Is anyone doing that? Is anyone a Dr. Nick impersonator? Just handing out good and plenties, fistfuls of good and plenties to people.
Which, by the way, would eventually kill you.
Oh, man. That's what I'm going to be. A Dr. Nick impersonator.
Yeah. Depending on how many good and plenties you're talking about, you would end up dead on a toilet.
Dr. Nick. Here you go, Elvis. More pills for you.
Well, how many did you give him? Well, it says right there, plenty.
Good. I gave him a good and plenty amount of pills. Oh, man, you could make money as... As Dr. Nick.
And all you do is just hang out at his performance. Kind of like in the corner.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, is that Dr. Nick over there?
Dr. Nick claimed that he tried in vain to reduce Elvis's dependency on pills, even going so far as to personally manufacture 1,000 placebos for Elvis. Oh, I tried making the fake pills. That didn't work. You'd take fistfuls of those. I was trying to wane him, man.
Now, what was in your placebo? Opium?
Narcotics, barbiturates, amphetamines, laxatives, hormones, all of it.
A little bit of everything. I mean, not enough to, you know, be dangerous.
When he would appeal, because he lost his license, the Tennessee Board of Medical Examiners took his license away because he had been indicted in 1980.
You're going to take my license? Really?
14 counts of over-prescribing drugs to Elvis, Jerry Lee Lewis, and other patients. Oh, I don't know. Jerry Lee Lewis doesn't seem like somebody that's pilled up out of his mind.
Hey, listen, in my defense, as a character witness, the killer's still with me. The killer's still alive.
1993, Dr. Nick had his license permanently revoked by the Tennessee Board of Medical Examiners.
Pull the plug.
He claimed that he made all those prescriptions for patients that suffered from inoperable chronic pain. During his appeals, Dr. Nick admitted to the board that he had, in fact, overprescribed, but it was because he said, quote, I cared too much.
Because he was such a fat ass. That's why.
Dr. Nick was a pallbearer at Elvis's funeral. Somebody
but didn't want to touch the coffin.
And then, do you remember when an angry Elvis fan shot him in the chest while he was watching a football game?
In his house?
Yeah. Dr. Nick, it's 1979. Dr. Nick's watching a football game. Somebody shoots him in the chest. They never arrested a suspect. Whoever did it got away with it.
And then yelled out, "Nuke the Knack." And they just ran away.
After he was stripped of his credentials in 1995, Dr. Nick worked for a short time as Jerry Lee Lewis's road manager.
Well, let's take a look at your resume. Oh, this is very impressive.
My name is Jerry Lee Lewis.
I'm a Jerry Lee Lewis today.
Number four.
I have a review here of people reaching out to advice columnists with questions about things that have happened in their lives.
Uh-huh. Maybe recently.
A couple of these have me scratching my head. I want to get your take, Darren. How can I get my boss to pay me compensation that's months overdue without being rude? You know, you don't want to be rude that you're not getting paid money that's owed to you.
What do you consider being rude?
Listen to this. I have been at my new job nearly 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I can relate. I sincerely enjoy what I do. When I was originally hired, the benefits made my decision to switch jobs much easier.
Okay.
I receive a regular hourly salary and a yearly raise. And the other incentive was a quarterly bonus based on commissions. The first two bonuses came as promised, but the third bonus was never received, even though my numbers were higher than ever. The fourth bonus, again, was not received, though my numbers were still high. Now I'm nearly due for my fifth bonus, and I'm afraid this one will not be honored either. The confusing part is that my employer will make remarks like, "Oh, I need to get your bonus to you," or, "Oh, I keep forgetting your bonus."
Uh-huh.
So now with what you're due, it'll be a really good one. So he is remembering them, but he does not follow through.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, he's not in the office every day, and I may only see him once a month. I don't know how to kindly ask my employer why he hasn't given me my last two bonuses. Where I'm from, it's considered rude to question such things.
Where do you come from?
But not only are my numbers consistently high, I really go above the call of duty. I'm in a mental pickle here. I don't want to insult my employer, but I also want either my bonuses or a reason why I'm not getting them. But primarily, I want my bonuses. You're a sucker is what you
are. Well, I suppose you have to go ask for them. Is there even another office that maybe handles this?
If you're in sales, you should be pretty good at asking for money.
Yeah.
Especially money that's owed to
you. It sounds like you're already good at it.
Yeah. Well, you're saying that you're knocking it out of the park. So, and this is, it gets tricky too, doesn't it, with this will be money that you earned in 1 year, but then didn't get until, I guess, when you earn it and when you get it is different things, but... they're saying that...
Getting money that you're already owed is always easier than getting money that people don't owe you.
You know what, though? I say that, but you and I at the other place got dragged along. And we had to get a lawyer involved.
Well, finally.
Because they weren't paying us stuff that they said they were going to pay us. And we went along with it because... Was it that we didn't want to be rude, or... Why did we go along with it? Didn't want to get fired?
We got it, though, in the end.
We did! We did after getting an attorney involved. And I have to say that the matter was settled to our mutual satisfaction. How about, would it be helpful for me to encourage my alcoholic friend to have a drink with me when we go out for meals?
I say yes.
I have an alcoholic friend who is trying to quit drinking. We go out once in a while to have lunch or dinner, and I'm wondering, would it be wise to only have one alcoholic beverage?
You gotta have a drink at lunch?
I would think tapering off alcohol slowly and supervised would be better for him than stopping completely, and I want to be helpful. And of course, the advice columnist says, you're not being helpful.
Yeah.
If someone's an alcoholic, they need to have no drinks. Well, you know, but if he only has one with me, I feel like that would be better for him in the long run.
This is a safe place right here.
Right. And then they go home and then they binge. That's not what you need to do.
I mean, good God, if you're already just having food, just have the food.
Right.
If that's what you're doing. This is no place to drink anyway. If you're going to get after it, you don't want any food involved.
No.
Forget it. Food? It's like if I were to come to your garage and you had like a bunch of sandwiches laid out. What the hell are you doing? I thought we were going to tackle some beers.
And well, yeah,
got,
but I also
and you've
have...
got a, and you've got a spread out here. I mean, you might...
Well, we're doing one or the other. We're not doing both.
We're doing one or the other. Are we having... If we were having lunch, then I would have... I would not have accepted your offer.
Yeah, I very rarely will drink beer and have a meal at the same time.
Huh.
Very rarely. Just if I'm eating a meal, I'll have water or some sort of soft drink.
I will go with a glass of water, please.
Yeah. But then when it's time to drink, then it's
I would
to
suggest,
drink.
Dave, you put those sandwiches back in the fridge. If we're gonna,
those might be handy for when we're done drinking.
If we're gonna need those at all, that's gonna be later.
I got us some hoogies to go along with our beer blast.
Why are you calling it a hoogie?
Hoogie
to begin with.
Oh, you want a hoogie? Hoogie.
What?
None
of this is adding up, Dave.
I've decided
to
adopt a Philadelphia
accent. Do you or do
you
not have
accent.
Beer in the refrigerator?
I do.
But I also have a hoogie.
I got some hoogies. Last one. Should my son and daughter-in-law have warned my wife and me that they were taking us to a clothing optional resort?
Oh, that's not right. No.
This has been kind of an easy batch.
Well, I figured after the three-day weekend, we didn't need any heavy lifting.
Yeah, I think... That's a good call.
Should my son and daughter-in-law have warned my wife and me that they were taking us to a clothing optional resort?
Why would they do that?
Warn you or take you?
Take you.
When my son and daughter-in-law told us they wanted to do a family vacation this year, my wife and I were thrilled.
Sure.
We both recently retired, and it was going to be the first time ever when we could just go off and enjoy ourselves.
Exactly.
Without having to worry about facing all of the catch-up at work when we returned.
I totally understand that.
I never considered that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
That first
this is
vacation
going
to, you take as a retiree.
We're not going back to anything.
Oh, boy, that would be great. What we didn't find out until we got to Florida was that the resort they picked out was a clothing optional resort with fun for the whole family. Our 6 and 4-year-old grandkids were along, as were our son's wife's parents, who seemed just fine with it all, even though they, like us, did not go au naturel in public.
Uh-huh.
It would have been funny if we didn't spend so much time blushing. And to see our daughter-in-law and adult son in the raw was something we could have lived the rest of our lives without having to do. I know it's partially on us for not doing some homework before we signed on.
And both of them fully erect.
But since it was a whole family vacation, it never crossed our minds that it would be so different, as my wife politely said. Don't you think it would have been nice of our son and his wife to give us a little warning? I can tell you I'll never trust them again to make travel or vacation arrangements.
I wouldn't trust them with anything. I wouldn't trust them with putting out the trash. You know, this whole idea of ever asking you to, get our mail when we're gone. Forget it.
No.
Mow a lawn? Not a chance. You'll do it naked.
I didn't realize.
Who's to say?
You grew up to be a freak.
I don't know what this is.
I don't trust you to do anything. I can't.
I mean, you guys going there, that's one thing. Clearly. You go right ahead and have a good time. But inviting us?
You're out of the will. Yeah. We're gonna leave our estate to people that wear clothes.
We're gonna leave it to pets. We're gonna leave it to animals. At least they have the good sense to. I mean, not the hairless cats, but every other animal.
If my dog wanted to take me to a hairless cat vacation resort, I'd say no.
Exactly.
We're not
going to go spend the weekend with hairless cats.
The advice columnist here says that a warning would have been nice, but it sounds like you've already learned a valuable lesson in how a little research on your own can go a long way when someone proposes a destination with which you're not personally acquainted.
Well, there is
So this advice columnist is basically saying...
So this is on you.
It's a little on you. Yeah.
I suppose you would look. I would be the sort of person that would take a look at a website, wouldn't you?
If someone was saying, hey, we got a vacation plan, we're going to this place.
Well, hold on just a second. Let me take a look and see if I have any desire to do this at all.
Yeah, but I could see just it would never cross your mind that your kids want to take their kids and you to a nudist resort.
That's true.
It would never cross my mind.
No, that's true.
The vice columnist here says, maybe next time a multi-generational family vacation is proposed, you and your wife should do the picking and the arrangement. Maybe.
Well, what you could have done is taught him a lesson. Because here it comes.
Oh, you like that, do you?
You like that?
You like that?
You might like this. I don't know if I had mentioned that, but with the...
Thunder! 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 Thundercast!
Tad, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You wanted to... Yeah. You thought this would be real funny, didn't you?
Unleash the monster.
Oh!
Yeah. With the, I don't know, I maybe put a few extra pounds on knowing that I was about ready to retire. But I think you're going to enjoy this.
You think this is funny, do you?
Yeah, you like that?
I'll show you funny.
It's a liver belly summer.
We have to take a break for news.
Yeah, it does kind of look unnatural. That's what I think. And I have no idea what all those blotches are. Some sort of rash. I don't know. Maybe it's... maybe a different soap I've been using. Your mother's been.
I don't know.
Have you been using a different laundry?
Rickets?
No.
Crickets or shingles? I don't know what the hell.
I don't know what this is, but I got all of them. I got all of them.
I gotta collect them all.
Hope you like it.
Five.
Number five.
I was not familiar with transient global amnesia, but it's a real thing. TGA.
Is that if you're traveling?
No. I think global refers to your like where it is in your brain.
Oh, okay.
Not the globe. This story is of a 66-year-old man who became distressed after he looked at his phone right after some afternoon sex with the missus.
Okay.
He has a little skyrockets at night there, a little afternoon delight.
Uh-huh.
And then he looks at his phone, and he thought, oh, no, I forgot my wedding anniversary. But the thing is, he had just celebrated his wedding anniversary with his wife and family the day before. He got amnesia 10 minutes after having afternoon sex with his wife, temporarily wiping his memory of the previous day and rendering him unable to retain new information.
Is this like a blood flow problem?
Or is it just so mind-bending, the sex, that she broke his brain in half?
Or the blood just rushed out of his brain.
Right. That's the old joke, right? God gave you a brain and a penis, but not enough blood to operate both at the same time. Memory loss lasted for an hour. He kept questioning his wife and daughter events of the morning and the previous day. He goes to the emergency room. And they do a bunch of neurological examinations on him, and he was fine.
He starts coming around a bit?
Doctors diagnosed him with this transient global amnesia. a benign condition that causes sudden short-term memory loss and the inability to form new memories. Any memory loss typically lasts 4 to 6 hours, and there's no need for treatment.
But the sex causes it.
Well, I don't... They don't know.
What else causes it?
They're saying that it was after the sex.
Right, but...
I don't know.
Is there something else that can cause it?
Like, if every time you had sex, you would forget the last 24 hours of your life?
Or if you go, like, if you have to... I don't know why you would be sprinting at 66, but...
Doctors who authored this report say they have a bunch of questions. TGA can mimic other conditions like having a stroke or yep. the onset of dementia or epilepsy.
But it's short-lived.
And it's not a great thing to have if you're a pilot, for crying out loud. Clearly. I forgot how to do this. I had sex in the captain's lounge and now I don't know what I'm doing.
I can't do my work.
You don't want to hear that.
No, you don't.
From the pilot.
You don't want to hear that from the pilot.
Ladies and gentlemen, now an announcement from the captain.
I don't think so.
No. Great.
Most cases of TGA have been reported in men between the ages of 50 and 70.
Gotcha.
We have no idea what causes it, but it has been linked to several activities, including physical exertion, immersion in cold water, immersion in hot water, emotional stress, pain, and sex.
Okay, so there's several things that could mm-hmm. trigger this.
Yes.
And you are just about ready to enter the Twilight Zone.
I know. And since I can only have sex, as you know, immersed in cold water, I don't know what to tell you. I'm very concerned about this.
Cold water and pickle juice to...
That's right.
Cut down the swelling.
That's right. I'll turn on the Al Green and I'll say to the missus,
uh-huh.
It's brine time. Let's make this happen.
I got a real red wagon.
Nolan Ryan had to do the same thing after pitching 9 innings back in the day.
This guy apparently had the exact same thing happen to him 7 years prior to this. So it can happen to you more than once.
Okay.
Although, how often it can happen to you is not exactly agreed upon. They don't really have any. I mean, it's just such an unusual thing. One thing you know, you're going at it, and then you're like, wait a minute, what day is this? A sudden temporary episode of memory loss that cannot be attributed to a more common neurological condition.
My suggestion would be just roll over and take a nap.
I don't know what day it is. I'm going to bed.
Doesn't matter what day it is.
I don't know what is going on. Story of a guy who finds his wife dressed for work and for a birthday gathering afterwards. She's in a jacket with a large fabric flower. And she kept asking, why am I dressed like this? And he says, you're supposed to go to a party after work. And she's like, work? What do I do? So the husband gets scared because obviously, I mean, that's terrifying. Your wife's sitting on the bed going, I don't know why I'm wearing these clothes and I also don't know what I do for a living.
A flower.
He gets scared. His wife owned a small company that made one-of-a-kind hats with handcrafted materials. She was passionately dedicated to her work. For her to say, I don't know what I do for a living...
You're in a tribute act, the Peter Gabriel years.
He says, I better take her to the hospital. Doctors give her a bunch of cognitive tests. She knew her name.
It's a tribute to early Genesis. It's your idea.
The neurologist finally delivered the diagnosis. Again, it's this transient global amnesia. Very common in people between the ages of 50 and 70. Well, most common, not very common. I don't want you to get the idea that it happens. It happens to somewhere between 3 and 8 of every 100,000 people. Anti-retrograde amnesia, not being able to form new memories. And these episodes last for 4 to 6 hours, but they can last as long as 24 hours. She says she remembers getting dressed in the morning. And then she says, the next thing I know, I was waking up in the ER with no clue what was going on. Felt like a dream. I remember seeing a clock and thinking, is it night? Is it day? Where am I? While it can be incredibly unsettling to patients and their loved ones who fear that there's a stroke or a tumor going on,
yeah,
the neurologists say, of all the things, this is not probably the thing that you want because it's a what they call a benevolent syndrome.
Just temporary.
80% of patients never have it happen again. It's like,
oh, it's just a one-time deal, yeah. Huh?
And you may have another attack or two throughout the case of your life, but it's not something that happens all the time. Sudden plunges into hot or cold water, extreme physical exertion, a severe emotional jolt, or intercourse. That's right.
I said it.
Story here of Joan Lang, 65 years old. She and her husband were cuddled in post-coital bliss at their home in Portland, Maine, when she suddenly asked when they should plan to put their boat in the water for the season.
I just did.
And the husband says,
Hey, who wants to have some fun?
Consider yourself zing.
The zing of the day.
So they're there in the after the lovin'.
Afterglow.
I sing you to sleep.
After the lovin'.
Did he just die?
No. No, he's still out on the road.
That's Engelbert Humperdinck, right?
Yes, it is.
Who am I thinking of just died? B.J. Thomas. B.J. Thomas just died, right?
I think he's been
Or did he die again?
I think he died again.
He just died again? B.J. Thomas died while we were away on our 3-day
No.
weekend. Yes.
What?
Yes. And I
Again?
That's what I said. I thought I could have sworn that he died already.
I don't think that's right.
B.J. Thomas died May 29th. Oh, 2021. Well, that was last year.
Right.
Well, who died over the weekend? You see raindrops keep falling on my head?
Yes.
Who died over the weekend that I'm thinking of? Who am I thinking of? That just died. Not Bill Withers. He's been dead a while.
Ronnie Hawkins?
No, nobody knows who Ronnie Hawkins is.
Well, he was, early part of the band.
Not Mickey Gilley. Who am I thinking
Mickey
of?
Mickey Gilley.
We did. I know we lost Mickey Gilley at the beginning of the month. I could have sworn that I saw that B.J. Thomas died again over the weekend.
I don't think so.
Okay. That's a relief, because I can't lose him again. You know what I'm saying?
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That was Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. The next podcast you get from us will be a patron exclusive, the one that we owe you for May of 22. That's coming here in the next, I shouldn't give a timeline because I don't know when you're listening to this. But that's the next podcast that we plan on posting.
You do what you got to do.
If you're not a patron, maybe consider being a patron.
How about that?
All right. Until we get a chance to do this for you again, thanks for listening. Hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities. Represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport. Yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock out.
Come on. And it just don't stop. East Moline. Yeah, they keeping it hot.
Great show, everybody. Great show.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.